sunny and pleasant, with a high temperature of 79 degrees and a low temperature of 55 degrees.
Well, good Thursday morning. It's me, Adam Lepp, the Computer Guy, with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show Thursday edition. The first show of September. Can you believe it's September already? Beautiful late summer day outside. Love the weather. It's a little cooler than it has been, but again, some people think that it's now beginning the descent into colder weather. Of course, I lived in northern New York State for 7 years, and I worked in broadcasting there for a couple years in the mid-80s after I worked at my college station. And, you know, we figured if it wasn't snowing that you could wear shorts and maybe even go swimming. But I guess here in the Buckeye State, when September rolls around, it's football season. It's OSU football season, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers, and the Lions, and all the other area teams. They get ready to play. And we have fall fever in the air. But 24/7, our society is dominated by information technology, by computers, by social networking, and all that good kind of stuff. And that's what we talk about here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday just after the 9 a.m. features here at our studio in the Marion Center Mall on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. And we talk today's top technology topics. And that's kind of where the fun comes in. We enjoy discussing these kind of things. You may hear my commentator from time to time. His name is Nick C.J., and he's not a local person. We like to think people listen all over the Marion area, and of course people do, and we thank you very much for that. But by the power and magic of the Internet, you can listen to our station online by going to our website, which is developed and maintained by yours truly, WWGH1071.com. And one other good way to listen is with this app called TuneIn, and the price is right. It's free. Just look in the App Store, or again, whether it's an Apple or Android device, and search for TuneIn. Download and install it. It shouldn't take more than 40 seconds. And search for WWGH in Marion, Ohio. Install it. Make it a favorite. Click on the little triangle thingy to listen, and in 2 or 3 seconds, you are connected with outstanding call quality. One of the best ways to listen. And that's how our first caller of the day listens. His name again is Nick C.J. He is a regular commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and he and I have been collaborating on websites and working on our servers together for quite a few years. Now, normally I'd say good morning, but where Nick is, it's afternoon. You're in Wales in United Kingdom, aren't you, Nick?
Hi, I am Adam. Yes.
And so,
can you hear me clearly as we're doing it via phone?
Yes, I hear you loud and crystal clear. Now,
that's good.
It's afternoon.
I got one thing before we start.
Sure.
Pinch punch, first of the month, white rabbit. It's something we say in Wales. I don't know if they say it in the USA. But it's a good luck thing, and once I've said White Rabbit, you can't say it back.
Okay, because I'm thinking that's a song by, they were called Jefferson Airplane, who I believe is from San Francisco, California. That's what I think of with White Rabbit.
Involving special substances.
Right, with Grace Slick, one of the all-time great female rock and roll singers, and definitely a groundbreaking song from a band that's essentially still around with different people, and they've changed their name a few times, but that's kind of how the music business tends to be. Now, It's a quarter after two there, right, Nick? Or after three?
Yep, exactly.
Two. Good. I'm glad my mama told me how to tell time. So I'll say good afternoon to you, and your September started 5 hours earlier than it did here in Ohio. Now, you listen, as we said, you listen with TuneIn, right? And sometimes with your computer by clicking on directly on the website?
I use the direct link to the WWGH, myradiostream.com.
Okay, great. Yeah, there's many ways to listen. We try to make it flexible and as easy as possible for listeners. And what's your opinion of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, having listened to it and participated for quite some time now?
Well, it's very informative. I like listening to it. Yeah, it's something that keeps me up to date on what's happening, and I like to put my four penneth in, as we say here.
Okay, well, that...
Every so often about what's happening here in the UK.
Yeah, how would you say,
sometimes
like...
we're ahead of you, sometimes we're behind you with technology. It just depends on the way that they market.
We discuss...
I used to find... This is an aside now, but I used to find it very odd that when I used to go on holiday to Spain, we used to find things there that hadn't arrived in the UK. And, of course, that was because people like Microsoft had developed stuff, tested it in the American stroke Mexican market, and because they were Spanish speakers, then it was tested and sent over to Spain before it got to the UK.
Definitely. I think the whole... The political landscape in the UK is different than it is here, and you know the Brexit there's been a lot of news about that, of course, and you're kind of in the middle there, being in Wales, just west of where England becomes Wales. Is the Brexit a big item on social media there? I'm sure it is.
It was huge here on social media. It was crazy, and it literally split the country down the middle because we had a sort of 52-48% split on what the vote was, and then when the 52% won for Brexit and to exit Europe, we suddenly had all of the 48% saying we want it done again because we lost. So it did cause a lot of infighting on social media and separately. Posters on houses, in windows, in cars. So yes, it's been quite strong.
Is it okay if I
was pro-Brexit, and okay. I feel that we're already coming out of the deep depression that was only caused by people's skepticism.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it's okay to share your opinion of the Brexit. So you're in favor of it?
I'm in favor, definitely. without sounding racist, we had a war with Germany, and then we had a second war with Germany, and then Germany decided basically that they'd try and rule us via Europe, and for me that was a no-go.
Do you think it's going to affect technology with there not being, with the UK not being a major part of a major political body, the European Union? Will that affect telecommunications? Maybe telecom companies not getting along quite as well?
For being the tiniest sort of islands, a little tiny thing that would drop into any state in the States and get lost. We are still the fourth, depending on who's reporting it, biggest economy in the world. So for this tiny little island, I don't think it will affect us, no, and I think that our independence is what's necessary. It's appeared, apparently, that since Brexit, that the things that people said were going to drop by the wayside and be difficult, and we wouldn't get any orders, and the whole of Europe weren't going to talk to us, and then Obama said that America obviously wouldn't be able to trade with Britain if they couldn't trade through Europe because we'd be too small. And suddenly we've got the likes of Boeing and all sorts of big people placing great big orders because they haven't got the constraints of Europe.
Yeah, that's a good perspective. I mean, you want to cooperate, but you want your independence too. And as I see it, I'm not a UK expert, but you already have several parts with their own identity. Again, especially in your case, being in Wales, and you're from London originally, and your daughter lives, as I recall, somewhere in the London area. And you're just over the border between Wales and England, and of course there's Scotland and Northern Ireland, other parts of the United Kingdom. So they already have their identity, and they need to be part of the EU also. So it'll be a controversial topic, I think, for a while, and how it affects technology too is always in the mix. And one thing
you're fading in and out a little bit, Adam.
Okay.
I can only just hear you.
Okay. I was just mentioning, Nick, that better?
Yep.
Right.
Better.
Okay. That happens with technology. Even old-fashioned tech like phones sometimes aren't always the best, but we'll give it a second try. Anyway, as I was saying, the UK already has its identity between, obviously, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, and England. And England, obviously, isn't just London. It has rural parts also. So doesn't need to be part of the EU also. Do we need that additional joined identity? I guess people will be talking about it on social media probably for quite a while.
Oh, yes. And we've still got some inner turmoils in the country because Scotland didn't want to be part of the UK. It was something they definitely didn't want. They wanted their independence. And now it appears that Scotland want to be part of Europe because they like the handouts. So it's very odd. They don't want to be part of one, but they want to be part of another.
I guess as
but the other big story that came out recently was the sale of ARM, A-R-M, in Cambridge, UK, to the Chinese. That's a big technology story here.
I guess as a fellow classic rock fan, the band U2, they have a lot of song lyrics that relate to issues between England and Ireland and the UK. So often it affects song lyrics and if we say pop culture. And that just makes everything a little more interesting, gives people things to talk about, and always keeps Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all those social media sites busy. One of the topics we discussed prior to going on the show, Nick, was that even veteran technologists, if that's a word, like ourselves, are kind of at the mercy of Microsoft and Apple and Facebook and all those big guys with lots of money and fancy buildings and fancy cars. We've had some issues the last few days with our servers. We've had to literally, in the early morning hours, restart the mail to get the mail to work. And we're trying to find a way around that. So far, it's not caused any major issues, and I'm going to try to get everything hammered out later today. Is it something you do as a server administrator? What are your thoughts, Nick, on how even a relatively large technology company is always at the mercy of Microsoft and Apple and Facebook and all those big players?
It's a funny place to be because we're all held captive, basically. I get a lot of, especially my elderly customers, who come in and they liked Windows 7, and then one night suddenly their Windows 7 became Windows 10, and they don't know how to work it anymore, and I do have a way around that and make it look like Windows 7. But I feel a lot of people seem to feel that they're at the sort of whim of large corporations who decide to change things. And when you get right down and you drill right through this, is it that large corporation, or is it, you know, a few little geeks in a back room, very like you and I, Adam, old geeks probably, who decide, you know, the way forward for these programs and how everybody is suddenly going to have to change the way they do things? And it happens on Microsoft, it happens on Apple, and it even happens on our own servers, where the programs that run the servers are written by a third party and bought in, and overnight they have a brainwave that it would be better if such and such happened, and let's make a button that does that. And what they forget is that when they make the button that does that, there's usually another button that disappears off your interface, and suddenly you can't do something that you did every morning. So It does feel a little bit like being in a sort of hostage situation where you get no choice over what happens around you.
It would seem that way, and we're kind of at the mercy because technology has to talk to each other, and we have to use different vendors and use sometimes it's the perspective, if you can't beat them, then join them. And that's almost how it is with social media. I would really rather not even use social media, at least not to the extent that I do and have it part of my business, but you have to. It's part of our life, and everything goes by so quickly. We're talking about Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, 10 years ago, it was in its infancy. The guy's in his early 30s, and Facebook is an empire more powerful than many, many foreign countries, and it's part of our daily routine with running a business. And Microsoft, again, they've evolved with the times and maybe haven't made some of the best decisions, witnessing the issues with Windows 10, for example. Did you see that story? It was big on Facebook, Nick, and I discussed it on the show a couple months ago, where the weather lady was doing the weather forecast, and as she was kind of showing the radar, the computer said, "We want to schedule a Windows 10 upgrade," and it was kind of comical. But as a fellow broadcaster, I kind of felt her pain. It was a little embarrassing, without really being her fault. Did you hear about that?
I did, and I saw the sort of slideshow that they had on Facebook, and the same thing has happened to me. I mean, I'll schedule somebody to come into the office, or a couple, or three people from a business, and say, "Why don't you come over? And I'll set up all my screens, and we'll have a good demonstration of how your website will be and how efficient we will be at hosting it." And, you know, various sort of the BS that comes along with selling yourself. And they will turn up, and they'll have coffee and sit down. And then the main machine that I've set up for this will decide to do an update. Again, nothing to do with me. Or the broadband will decide to go down. Nothing to do with me. So we are sort of kept constantly as hostages of these technology companies.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the weather lady story, my first reaction was to laugh, but I really feel her pain. If I was doing that, I wouldn't be a very, very happy camper. I would probably try to laugh it off, as I tend to do with those things. But we know, and I know your opinion of Windows 10, Nick, is, let's say, more positive than mine, but we understand that there are good and bad points to everything. But we have to agree that it is being invasive and really has no place on a computer screen that's being broadcast to thousands of listeners, many of whom rely upon the weather, bus drivers, etc., to plan their day and stay safe. And suddenly we see this little message, and it's comical, but it does show how vulnerable we are to technology and how it does kind of run our lives.
Mm. And it steps down through the ranks, of course, because we have our servers, the programs for those are written by a third party that we put on the servers, and then we then supply another party who has trouble with their email, because we've had to use another party's software who've messed up a little bit in their coding. And it's a case of us having to be extra vigilant in order to get round the problems caused by the other party.
It would seem that way, and it sometimes is a bit of a vicious circle, but we tend to figure it out, and every time you do fix something, you learn more about it, and I guess that helps our knowledge base and helps me and you service our customers better next time it happens, because these things always do tend to recur. We've been working on a couple rather large website projects, Nick, some clients of mine that I've had you do a lot of the work for. The first one would be a quick service restaurant that's all over Central and Mid Ohio, WG Grinders. We redid the website for the location that I go to. It's on the Delaware and Franklin County border. And I'm going to be doing an updated site for the location in Lima, Ohio. So here in Marion, we're kind of between both locations. And in terms of restaurant websites, I mean, one thing that certainly crosses all cultural and country guidelines is eating. And what are some of the things that you think are important when you do a website for a restaurant like Grinders, Nick? Are some things that people should maybe keep in mind if they are designing a site or looking to improve their online presence?
I think especially with a franchise, something like Grinders, where WG Grinders, where they've got a franchisor sort of dishing it out, you need a consistent label, as with sort of the Golden Arches of McDonald's. You need the corporate website for the people who are actually franchising out their brand, and then you need the same website through every one of those franchisees, so that the look is the same for everybody. And then obviously build in some technology, which again is used through all of them, things like short codes so that people can scan things, online ordering so you can order your meal in advance and it's ready to go. Basically consistency, I think, throughout the brand, and trying to do that on not just one website but a lot of websites involves having some sort of database that you can copy over and then make sure that everybody has got this. They're all reading from the same book.
So in the competitive world of restaurants and franchises and quick service, you want to definitely provide that brand identity and make the site easy to use and attractive. And things like, I often find websites don't have the hours, don't have the easy contact information that you look for. Half the time when I go to a website for a restaurant, I just want to know when they're open or when the buffet is or things like that. And we try to put that front and center because that's often the first thing that people are looking for. We did the site in WordPress so that it is responsive. How important is it in almost 2017 now, Nick, to do a website that's going to look good on a phone, a tablet, a 26-inch monitor, etc.? We call that a responsive design.
Responsiveness is the biggest thing that has come over. And of course, for myself, migrating all of my customer base, we've got quite a few websites now that we maintain for customers, over to responsive sites has been quite a task, as it has for you, I know. But responsiveness is essential now. I mean, it used to be that everybody went to their PC and looked at a website, and then if they didn't do that, they'd be looking at it on their laptop, maybe at work. But people are looking at websites on the train, buses, planes even now. It's so... Phones and tablets are essential. But of course, you don't want to have a different website, and responsiveness is the main thing that takes that away. It is like having a different website, but it's written on the fly. The software that's built into a responsive WordPress site actually rewrites the whole site as it's being shown to the person. So if you've got a long, thin telephone, you get all of your pictures and slideshows and things stacked one on top of the other. If you've got a big, wide PC screen, it knows to turn it the other way around and make different things happen. So responsiveness, I think, is essential.
I think we found, at least a couple of years ago, a lot of restaurants, they just had a specific site for a mobile device, and it might have had the hours, it might have had a click-to-call button, but that was about all it was good for. Essentially, was a glorified Yellow Pages setting. And the sites that we've done, again, like the one for Grindr's, all the robustness of the desktop site is in the phone version, and they have an app that you can just click on to download, and that helps. If you're a regular customer, you can look at the menu, you can place orders, and all those kind of things. You can look at your past orders. So we've added a lot of robustness, and as I sometimes say, often a site looks better on a mobile device than it does on a desktop monitor. I couldn't imagine myself 5 years ago saying that, but if you do a responsive site the right way, that's often the case.
Definitely. I mean, there was a little period of time where people were having a desktop site and then they were having a little mobile site written, as you say, and they really were just the most basic, just a page. Whereas now the whole site is displayed, everything is there, all of the interactivity. It just rewrites on the fly so that the menus are easier to use. If you turn your phone on its side, it rewrites it again into another format, or if you use it on a tablet, it does the same thing. So, yeah, brilliant.
The other site we've been working on, it's still in progress, and this is a rather major project. And this client is in New York City, which, as I'm sure you know, Nick, is the largest city in the United States. It's kind of the London of the United States, to put it mildly. And that's where my sister Amanda lives, and my beloved nephew Sam. And so you may ask, well, how does that tie into web development? Well, the religious school that my nephew goes to, they've hired me to totally redo the website. And Nick, you're basically the project lead, helping with the design and the navigation and logistics and all that good geeky stuff. Tell us about some of the things that you and I have done to improve the site over what it was before they hired me a couple months ago.
Well, the original site was a site for sore eyes. It was very basic, very, very basic. No interaction, totally flat, I think is the description for it, and didn't necessarily work across different browsers. For the people listening in, that's the difference between your Firefox or Internet Explorer for your older users, or Google Chrome. These browsers all have slightly different techniques, and if you just use a very, very basic HTML site, it can look very different across those different browsers. So with the WordPress responsive sites, you get consistency on all browsers, and as we said earlier, on tablets and phones. But also, it's just so interactive, the new site. Let me pull it up on my computer. I mean, we've got the fact that you can go into any section of what the school does. There are slideshows of things that you can see or that your children can do. And I think the main thing that we've introduced is basically an online basket for the fees. So it means that the school fees can be taken less painfully, slightly painlessly. It still stings when the credit card statement comes in, but it's a lot easier than the old method, which used to be to print out a PDF document, write out a check, and then try and get that to the school securely. And now it's just a case of a press of a couple of buttons to pay your fees after you've selected the course, and then you get presented with an online form to fill in, which you can put all your child's details and other things like emergency contact numbers, and that can be filed instantly by the school, so everything is done and doesn't have to be retyped, which again is another bonus.
And we're continually working on improving the shopping cart system. They've got kind of a complicated matrix of discounts for additional students, for referrals, for different classes. But it's 99% done now. And again, it's worlds better than what we had. I mean, the site before wasn't bad. It didn't have the responsiveness, didn't have the interactivity. We've added that. Plus, it looks a lot more attractive, and I think that the server is also a little higher end. But the ability to pay online will help the school grow. It'll be an accounting help, and I think it'll save the money because when you do pay online, everything is streamlined, and it makes it easier to run a business or run an educational institution. One sidelight, Nick, again, a bit of a comical note is, of course, there's competition in any business, and it's often a friendly competition. The former webmaster of the school, he's been emailing my client, and she's kind of copied me, and he's had less than kind words to say about the site, and I've forwarded you, Nick, some of the emails, and some of the things he brings up are legitimate. It's just we're working on stuff, and it's often a case where you see something that's really good, you want more and more of it. And a few things we think he's just totally made up, like he discussed that the contact form wasn't working, the columns weren't aligned, it didn't look good on his phone. What's your take on that, Nick? Is he just jealous of just how brilliant we are, or is what what's your take? I mean, we both sit there kind of laughing and giggling over it, which is fine. You don't want to take anything too seriously, and I never do. But again, we are professionals, and you kind of want to balance that out.
I think it does. It must happen in any business. I think because we work in visual media that's open to the world, basically. It gets back to us faster. So if we were to print a magazine, and a previous magazine printer of that magazine read our magazine, he'd obviously have a critique of what we'd done. But we'd probably never hear about it. But because everything is online and open, then it's viewed and discussed. I find it, as I said earlier, it's to do with business and the way that people treat business. I mean, when I moved to this area, which was 35 years ago, and then 25 years ago, I set up in IT, and went to a local web guy, and I'd been in web for some time before that, went to a local web guy and said, hey, we could work on projects together. And basically, he told me where to go. He said, I don't work with anybody. And I said, but we could cooperate and get bigger projects. And he was not interested and was very spiteful and nasty. And yet, you and I, Adam, never having met physically, we've worked online, I don't know, 3 years?
About 3 years or so, I would say, yeah.
And we work on projects together, and I work for you, and you work for me, and business can be done like that, and we can have a cooperative world.
Some people play well with others, and it just depends on the personalities. We have similar philosophies, and it just depends. You don't always mix, and I was never really good at sociology, so it's kind of play it by ear has always been my way of doing it. And just, I think, their former webmaster, I think he's given us a giggle. That's how I see it. And the client stood up for me. She doesn't really care. They hired me, and she's told them. And it is America, and we're entitled to our opinion. And I'm as pro free speech as you're gonna see. I mean, the radio, that is free speech at work, and we're talking across the continent here, and still agreeing on a lot of things. And bottom line is, we're still human beings, and that's the most important thing.
I think the bottom line is, Adam, that we've built a brilliant product in the new site, and somebody's very jealous.
That's good enough for me. Jealousy is certainly a compliment. Before you go, Nick, one last comment. Again, being in the UK, we talked about the Brexit and politics, and as you know, there's a lot of controversy, name-calling, and things I don't want to talk about on the air going on with this presidential election here in the colonies, as you sometimes call us. What's going on in social media with Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton, and how people think, and is there a hubbub there, or a lot of UK people don't really care, or is it, we're kind of obsessed with the royal family here in the United States, and maybe more than you are in the UK, and how are you guys seeing the US election coming up in a few weeks? How's that going on social media?
It's very different for us here. It's quite frightening, I think. I don't want to upset any listeners that are of a particular following over there, but the Trump view over here is quite frightening. A man who is not, he's a very rich man, but I wouldn't call him a businessman because the amount of people that say that they've had bad dealings with his business and the only reason that he's rich is that he ripped them off seems to come over a lot here. There's a lot of humor about certain haircuts and little pictures on social media of fields in Norway with tufts of grass, which is where Mr. Trump grows his hair, apparently. But on the serious side, it's the way that things seem to change and the sort of turncoat attitude, the fact that he loathes Mexicans and he's going to build a big wall and then he's going to make them pay for it. We did have a good joke about the fact that with the Zika virus, that Trump, if he gets in, is going to put a great big net over the top of America to stop the Zika virus, but he's going to make the mosquitoes pay for the net. So there's a lot of ridicule going on over here of Trump. And then this morning, of course, we're sitting down watching the news, and he's telling the Mexicans in Mexico about how he loves the country and he loves the people, and he's got a lot of them working for him. So very, very strange. So, and then I can give you another section on Clinton if you want.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Hillary, we don't have as much sort of offense given to us by Hillary. She's not as abrasive, but I did meet Bill Clinton, who seemed to be a very nice chap, some years ago when he came over to Hay Festival at Hay on Wye. But the corruption stuff keeps coming up here that could or couldn't exist, you know, and whether it does or not, and I think that's quite frightening. And it does, to us, seem like there are only two runners. That's definitely what appears in the media here. It is Trump or Clinton. And I think for most people, that's between the devil and the deep blue sea.
So, out of no better way to say it, you guys are not a fan of the Donald. And Hillary is kind of a mixed opinion, but it's more positive than negative, you would probably say.
Definitely. The Clinton thing, we're a little scared by the stories and rumors of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Trump is a farce. And the fact that the guy came over here and decided he'd buy a large chunk of Scotland and stick a huge golf club there without the proper planning permission, and anybody objected or lived within the bounds of it, he had their house either knocked down or built huge walls around them so that they couldn't get any sort of natural light, one of his Mexican walls. The man seems like a bully.
He's something else for sure, and it certainly put a buzz on social media. I mentioned about the royal family while I have you on the phone, Nick. As you know, Americans, we like to talk about the royal family and how beautiful all the women seem to be and how cute the babies are and I guess how much money they have. Do you think the royal family actually is more popular here in the United States, maybe just the allure of it being in the UK, than it is where you are? And how does that affect social media?
We don't have a lot of buzz, not the buzz that we have on things like politics and terrorism and all of those. We don't have that much buzz. There's a little bit of buzz when a new baby's born or something like that, but they're fairly par for the course for us, the royal family. I mean, you know, we sort of experience them on a daily basis. So for us, they are celebrity, but they're not, you know, they're part of our institution. So I don't think it affects us in the same way. And of course, the other thing is that we have a royal family and you don't. And so, you know, you've only got politicians, basically. And so I think that's why you have the quest for them.
I would agree.
If you hadn't had all that rumpus and thrown all that tea in the harbor in Boston, then we wouldn't have all these problems.
Right. I mean, the mystique of the royal family, certainly. And again, being abroad and how interesting they are and how much money they have, that certainly is part of it. And with Facebook and Instagram, you snap your finger and a photo can travel across the world. And didn't really have that when you and I started in technology. And that certainly affects how we see politics from both ends. Do you think the U.S. election, Nick, do you think it would be different? Even the candidates, would they be different if we didn't have Facebook and LinkedIn and all these methods of connecting online?
I think so, definitely. I think 100%. I mean, I suppose the only way to analyze that is to look at somebody from one of your past candidates, so say Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, how would he have come over on social media? How would any of those guys, you know, before any technology, before, you know, when the camera was just about, but not TV, you know, I mean, Nixon got caught with technology, with tapes and TV and filming. But if you look at somebody like Abraham Lincoln, of who we've only got stills and documents written, how would somebody like him have come over if suddenly Facebook was there? I don't know. I think personality is definitely involved. And for us, I mean, our greatest leader, Winston Churchill, was gifted with the black dog, as people with depression call it, and I've certainly been there myself, and perhaps wouldn't necessarily have the personality for social media, as he may be somewhat outspoken when the black dog's visiting. Whereas if you're using choice and select clips from certain bits, which you can do when you're just using the TV or radio, it can portray a completely different person.
I guess we talk about that with music also. We were both around when MTV started, and many artists were popular or lost popularity because of music videos. I remember hearing about Christopher Cross, that he's very critically acclaimed, and he's still around. But he really wasn't the best-looking guy out there or the most photogenic. He wasn't really into videos, and that probably hurt his standing as a musician. Whereas bands like Duran Duran, they were more photogenic. They certainly were helped by MTV, although I would agree, Duran Duran's a talented group. They kind of merge rock and disco. Hungry Like the Wolf, a favorite song of mine from my college days. It was played on rock and roll stations as well as top 40 stations because it was many different formats. Is that almost the case here, Nick, where MTV and the video generation, that's had an effect on musicians, just like social media has an effect on politics?
I think so. I think, though, the other thing, though, that you get with social media, of course, is the beefing up of the underdog. So you can also, let's say Chris Cross wasn't gifted with the looks, but sometimes social media can actually work on the opposite of that. And, you know, look at this guy, he might not be the best looking, but he's got the voice of an angel, and so, you know, buy his record. So I think looks or not looks, depending on how you grade them, can be interpreted differently through social media.
And the bands that I guess, and they're from your area, I'm thinking A-ha and Duran Duran, how much were they helped because they were more photogenic?
Well, A-ha are Swedish.
Yeah, I mean, but they're Europe. I mean, the European is what I'm saying. I'm saying. Okay, yeah, the European. Yeah, they're Norwegian, actually, I believe.
Are they? Yeah. They're from over the sea, you see, again. Helped with their looks a lot. And I think the other key thing was that it didn't just rely on their looks. It relied on the looks of the young female models to go in the young male pop stars' films. So a lot was placed on looks, I think, in those days.
So it almost seems like 30, 35 years later, we have politics and social media really having a major influence on each other, just like 30, 35 years ago, MTV and musicians had a major influence. As they say, sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. Is that a valid analogy?
Yep.
Am I being a little too deep, or is that something that that seems kind of logical?
I think so, and I think that music's had an influence for a long time. I mean, even going back to things that used to be put out as pop, like 99 Red Balloons. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh yeah, by Nina. Yeah,
which was really about atomic war and nuclear war.
Exactly.
But was disguised in a pop tune. So it's there's a lot of stuff disguised in the media. That's the other thing, and I think that happens for politics as well, where things are meant to look one way, but they actually look a completely different way when you actually analyze them.
Always makes an interesting topic of conversation, and I like to kind of delve and sometimes overanalyze these things. And I guess we'll find out. The election is growing closer and closer. And we'll just have to find out what's going to transpire. I guess one more thing. I was just thinking about some things that I think you might find interesting, Nick, some commentary. Maybe you saw this on Facebook. You've heard of The Family Feud, a game show they've brought back with Steve Harvey as the host. And they showed a video on Facebook, and the question was, name a famous Justin. Now, as classic rock fans, Nick, I think we would say Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues, the one band that should be in the Hall of Fame but isn't. But, of course, Justin Bieber, that was the most popular answer.
Bieber is what came to mind for me, yeah. I must say.
But you and I would agree, Justin Hayward doesn't get a lot of recognition for his very groundbreaking band, the Moody Blues.
No, he doesn't.
Of course, Justin Timberlake was probably up there also. But somebody said Justin Trudeau, and I think it came up that Steve Harvey didn't know who Justin Trudeau was. Of course, he's the Prime Minister of Canada. But nobody who was surveyed said Justin Trudeau. Justin Bieber had like 46 people. And ironically, he's from Canada also, yet his Prime Minister had no one said Justin Trudeau. What's your take on that? I mean, that's certainly a social media thing. That is
a social media thing, but that's people's disinterest in politics. I mean, Justin Bieber, I'm 10 years older than you, Adam, but he's just been number one and number two in the UK with two different tracks, with two different mixes. And so I've had him for the last month playing on the radio. So that's the reason that he popped to mind. In fact, the first thing that popped to mind was who's your favorite Justin? I thought Justin Time, because I automatically think of puns. So it wasn't really the best question to ask me with a name like Justin.
Yeah, I would just think Justin Bieber, you know, I mean, I'm not questioning his talent, but his controversy is, I think it certainly helped him. He had like 46 people out of 100 giving him as the answer, but his prime minister got nobody. And I wouldn't expect Justin Trudeau to get as many respondents as Justin Timberlake or Justin Bieber, but zero is kind of sad. There are neighbors to the north.
Zero is sad, but then again, he is Mr. Trudeau.
But he's the son of Gary Trudeau, right? I think so.
Yeah, but okay. Mr. Trudeau is what you tend to call a prime minister.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing. That's something I thought about too, Dick. Again, I'm getting a little off the topic, but it does relate to computers. It seems like in the UK, people are a little more formal. They don't use the first name basis as much as we do in the United States. Yet it seems like, has that changed a little bit, where things have gotten a little more casual, more American style? People don't just use Mr. and Mrs., and they do kind of use a first name a little bit sooner. And has the internet affected that? Because everything is kind of casual in the online world.
It has, to a degree. I mean, when I moved here, we're talking 35 years ago, my letters always had Esquire on the end of you, ESQ, short for Esquire. So it'd be Mr. Carter Jones, Esquire. I mean, Esquire used to feature probably in 25 to 50% of letters would have that on, especially if they came from the bank or something like that. Whereas that's gone completely. I can't remember the last time I saw that. But definitely, Dear Adam has gone from all emails. It's just Adam, and sometimes I'm signed with an N, and sometimes I'm signed with a Nick, but seldom with a Nick Carter Jones. But then again, we've got things like signatures on our emails, so that does all of that for us. So what used to be five lines of putting the address at the top and then another line of putting in full name at the bottom is all handled with a signature. So the internet and email has certainly made things much more casual.
Hey, I would agree, and that's an interesting point that I kind of thought of. Because I always thought in the UK, you don't really call anybody by their first name unless they're family or a close friend. And we've never been anything more than a first name basis. So I think the internet probably has affected that. And it just kind of came to mind, you know, while I was, I guess, probably in the shower thinking about life a few weeks ago. And while I got you on the phone, I thought I would ask you. So I've got about 2 minutes left of the show. Nick, thank you so much for being my special guest. This show will be available in the archives of the radio station on our website, WWGH1071.com. This show will be available a little later today. Got about a minute or two left, Nick. Anything else you wanted to tell our listeners about or share?
No. I think we've had quite a long show. I'd like to make a shout out to my daughter Hermione, who's supposed to be listening into this, so you should have at least two UK listeners. Other than that, I can't think of anything else. I'm busy here, sat in my techno shed, working on fixing laptops and writing websites for schools in New York. Okay. And I suppose that's part of the wonder of technology, is the fact that I can sit in a shed with sheep in a field next door to me, writing technology down a wire that works for a school in New York. Okay. I think I still am amazed at what technology does for us.
I think on the Adam the Computer Guy show, you never quite know the topic, and I like to discuss. We've discussed several times with had my special guest Harry, my call-in guest Zach from the Cincinnati area, talk about sports and social media, and today we've talked about politics and social media, even the Family Feud and people's recognition of names, all kinds of things to talk about, and never an ending of topics in the universe of IT. Thanks again, Nick, for being on the show. We'll probably talk to you again soon. Coming up in about...
Thank you, Adam.
You're very welcome, my friend, and have a wonderful day. We're the rest of your afternoon there, and we'll talk soon. Want to let you know that coming up after the 10 a.m. features, news and teasers of past and previous and even present shows, it is our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. There's a man with a large number of anecdotes about the Central and Mid-Ohio area. Like myself, a wisecrack and surprise are always in store. Of course, he takes your calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. And coming up after the noon features, it's Now with Scott Spears. Don't want to miss it. Listen online 24/7 at WWGH1071.com. Adam the Computer Guy, thanking you for listening. Have a great Labor Day. Talk to you on Tuesday.